for NPR Music. You're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and our guest DJ today, Smokey Robinson. Is it true that you were cruising here in a pink Cadillac? I cranked up Freeway of Love, of course. I couldn't help.
Well, I'll call Aretha and tell her that we used her car.
Smokey Robinson is one of our national treasures. He's written a remarkable string of memorable hits, many of them he sings with his group The Miracles back in the Motown days. Songs like Shop Around, Tracks of My Tears, You Really Got a Hold on Me, Tears of a Clown, and so many others. He wrote hits for many people, including Marvin Gaye and The Temptations. There's a long, long list. And he's continued to surprise us with hits and music into the 21st century. Now he has a new album coming on August 19th, a series of duets singing some of his best-known songs with some very famous and fun people. I'm in Washington, D.C. Smokey Robinson is at NPR West in Culver City. I'm going to just play something. I'm going to play for about 15 seconds or so. It's not your music, but it's someone else's, and you'll know it. And you'll know it, and you'll love it, and then I'd like to talk to you about it.
My heart is crying. Lonely teardrops.
Smokey Robinson, it might be odd for me to start in a place that's not your music, but I wanted to play this Jackie Wilson cut for you, Lonely Teardrops, and tell me if this means anything particular to you, if this brings back anything to you.
Well, and you're wrong about that, Bob. That is my music, man, 'cause it's the music that I grew up with, and Jackie Wilson was my number one singing idol as a kid growing up. And when I first met Berry Gordy, of course, everyone knows who is the guy who started Motown and all that, is my best friend. And I first met him actually at an audition for Jackie Wilson's managers in Detroit with my group. Barry was there to turn in some new songs, and you just played Lonely Teardrops.
Yeah.
And Lonely Teardrops was one of the songs that he had with him that day.
Wow.
This was prior to him starting Motown. And when Barry wrote Lonely Teardrops, it was sort of like country and western. It was slow. My heart is crying, lonely teardrops. It was like that, one of those bluesy kind of, slow kind of, and he gave it to Jackie that day, and then when he heard it, at first he was kind of disappointed because of the treatment that Jackie had done on it, you know, but then it was a huge hit, so everybody was very happy.
This was what, we were talking 57, 58?
Yeah, we were talking about 57, yeah.
And your group then was called?
We were called, actually, when we went to that audition, we were called the Matadors. But after Barry recorded us, we were on In Record Label out of New York, and we needed a name that fit some guys with a girl singing with them. So we put some names into a hat. And the name, just ironically, Bob, the name that I put in there was The Miracles. And we shook the hat up, and one of the guys drew it out, and it drew out The Miracles. And so we became The Miracles at that point.
What could it have been?
Absolutely, the whole thing is a miracle.
Yeah, that's beautiful. When you start to fall in love with someone like Jackie Wilson, what came before? You're, with 1958, you'd be what, 18, 17?
Yeah, I was about 17 years old, but I've been listening to Jackie Wilson, man. See, Jackie Wilson, people don't know, probably not too many, well, some people probably know, but anyway, there was a group called Billy Ward and the Dominoes, and Billy Ward and the Dominoes were a huge group in the black areas, in the black neighborhoods and stuff like that, as a kid when I was growing up, and they had a guy named Clyde McFadder, who turned out to be a really great artist on his own too after he left them. But Clyde McFadder was singing lead for Billy Ward and the Dominoes, and Clyde left to form the Drifters. See, people don't know this stuff, but I know, I'm a historian,
yeah,
man. And to form the Drifters, and when he did, the Drifters came out with a record called Money Honey, and that was a huge hit. So Clyde McFadder was with the Drifters, so Billy Ward hired Jackie Wilson to take Clyde McFadder's place. And so Jackie Wilson took his place, and there's a theater in Detroit, or there was one, called the Broadway Capitol, where all the stage shows came into town and played at the Broadway Capitol. And I went to the Broadway Capitol, I was probably about maybe 10 or so, to see Jackie Wilson with Billy Ward and the Dominoes. And that was when I first became aware of him.
Wow. So who would take you? You're 10 years old. You don't go alone, do you?
No, you know, you have older friends, but I mean, you can go to it. But you know, I went with some kids. I think the oldest one was probably about 13 or 14 at that time. But you know, when you get to be 10 and like then you have friends, and especially back in those days when you have to worry about your kids being kidnapped.
That's right.
And
yes.
Stuff like that.
Different world.
You know, it was a different world. So yeah, I went with some of my friends.
What was playing around your house? Radio? Was the radio on? Somebody have a record collection?
Oh, there was a huge record collection in my house, Bob, because my mom and I had two older sisters, and I had every kind of music you can think of, everything from gut bucket blues to gospel to jazz to classical was being played in our house because they loved music, and I grew up loving music from the time I could hear, and there was always music in the house. So I was very influenced by the people that I was hearing at that time.
Let's try to pin something down. Let's try to, like, think of either a moment, an artist. Maybe it was Sarah Vaughan. Maybe it was, I don't know, who.
Well, if you've ever read anything that I've said about my music history, Sarah Vaughan is the first voice that I ever remember hearing as a baby in growing up in Detroit. I must have been 2 years old or so, but she is the first voice that I ever remember hearing, Sarah Vaughan. My sisters played her all the time. And
you want to pick a song for us and we'll listen to some Sarah Vaughan? You got
Oh, gosh. Well, play Tenderly if you got some music by Sarah Vaughan.
I will find. Hang on a second.
Trees tenderly, the trembling trees embrace the breeze tenderly.
Completely changes the room, right? You hear this? You put this on.
See, Sarah Vaughan, singers like her and Ella Fitzgerald, and those they were instruments. They just had those voices that just were unmatchable.
And for you, in your era, your contemporaries, who was doing that?
When I first started to buy music, I started to buy music myself, for myself, when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old. And the first record that I purchased was a record by a group called The Spaniels. It was called Baby, It's You. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge hit in the black neighborhood. And The Spaniels became a huge group. But that was the first record that I ever bought. But I bought music by everybody. I had several singing idols that I listened to. If you're talking about professional people who had an influence on me, are you talking professional or just guys who were singing in the neighborhood?
Well, I like The Spaniels right there. I'd play just a bit of that for people who don't know The Spaniels. And then we'll try some others.
Okay, go ahead.
Here we go.
I need you so. I'll never let you go. Cause I love you so. Your love I crave to be.
What is it that you love in a song?
I mean, boy, that brought back some memories right there.
Tell me.
My gosh.
Where are you when you...
Wow. That's incredible. And you know, the killing part about it is when I listen to old records like that now and I hear the sound of them and how simple they were, you know, it's so amazing. and back in the day when that record first came out, man, that just sounded so modern and so incredibly fantastic. Oh, boy, that's a real memory jerker right there.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard this record?
Oh, no, I don't remember where I was. Yeah. I was listening to the radio, I'm sure, when I first heard the record before I went and bought it.
When you start writing songs and you think about the things you love, what is it that you like to see in it? What do you want in a song? What do you want?
Well, you know what? When I write a song, man, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to write a song because I know that if I write a song, it has a chance to live on and on and on and on and on. My first goal is not to just write a hit record. Of course, I'd like it to be a hit, but I want to start with a song, something that if I had written it 50 years before now, it would have meant something. And today it's going to mean something. And 50 years from now, it's going to mean something. And it's going to have the content that allows it to mean something to people forever. So that's my first goal as a songwriter, to write a song.
I'm going to play one of yours, unless you want to pick one.
You got no, one. No, no, no. You go for it.
I'll do this. Now, these days, you've taken and you've gone back and you've taken a lot of these songs and played around with them with your buddies or maybe people you've always wanted to work with. How did it feel to sing these songs again?
Well, you know, I sing them all the time, Bob. You know, I sing them, you know, I do concerts all the time and I sing them all the time. I can honestly tell you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you know, I've been doing concerts now for over 50 years. And those songs that that you're playing and that I sing every night they are new to me. Wow. And they're new to me because I love my job. I love my work. I'm living my wildest, most impossible childhood dream, you see. So I'm very blessed and I get a chance to live a life, earn a living, doing what I absolutely love. And every night those songs are new to me.
It's a remarkable thing. I love that that can be true. And I think for anybody who writes songs, it's such a beautiful goal to have, right?
Yeah, I don't ever like slough off, oh, let me sing this right quick and get this over with. I never feel like that about those songs. I just have a great time singing them, and people in the audience are singing them with me, and we're just having a good time there. And every night they're new.
I'm going to play a version you did with the Tracks of My Tears with Elton John. Let's
go right ahead, please.
People say I'm the life of the party, 'cause I tell a joke or two. Although I might be laughing loud and hearty, oh, deep inside I'm blue. So take a good look at my face. You'll see my smile looks out of place. If you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of my tears. I need you.
take a good look at my face. You'll see my smile looks out of place. If you look closer, it's easy to trace the tracks of mine.
Did you get it on the first take? That's so much fun. I bet. It must be a real honor for them. Every one of these people on this record, there's Sheryl Crow, there's James Taylor, there's Ella Black and Steve Tyler and John Legend, all these, CeeLo Green, all these people. They must have had a ball to work with you. Was it in the same room at the same time, or did you do it in disparate ways?
No, we did it different ways. Some of them we recorded separately. They were in their own hometowns and stuff, they sent the stuff. Nowadays, the recording is so sophisticated. I could have recorded with them on the telephone. I'm serious about that.
True, and
because people do it all the time, but it's a joy working with them, and I know. Most of them personally, and they've been personal friends of mine for a long time. Some of them I just met, some of the younger people, but most of the people, I've known them for a long time. And it's a joy to me to sing with these people and to know that these are some of my songs that they loved, because that's what Randy Jackson, who was the producer of the record, his premise was to contact these people and say, what is your favorite Smokey Robinson song? It doesn't have to be a song that I personally recorded. It could just be a song that I wrote for someone else, and let them pick their favorite song. And then I recorded that particular song with that artist. And it was a joy. And we let them all put their personal spin on the way they wanted to sing them. And and we had a great time.
So in this case, would you have gotten Elton John's tracks first, and then you sang? And did that work that way most of the time to get their spin?
Well, what happens is Elton did a treatment, and that's the artist did a treatment. They gave it to Randy. Randy did tracks.
Just so people are clear about what a treatment is. In other words, he did a demo version of it?
A demo version, yes.
Fine.
Of the way he wanted to
send you
do
a
it.
Tape, send you and Randy a tape.
Yeah, and then Randy worked off of that, and here it is.
Another favorite for me is Mr. James Taylor. Can I do play Ain't That Peculiar?
Oh, yeah, please.
I'm crazy about you. Stay away too long when I can't live without you. Every chance you get, you seem to hurt me more and more. Every hurt makes my love that much stronger than before. They say that flowers can grow from rain. Maybe my love can grow from pain, baby. Ain't that isn't that peculiar, darling? Peculiar as can be.
You tell me lies that should be obvious to me, but I'm so much in love with you, baby, till I don't see that the things you do and say I designed to make me do. It's a doggone shame my love for you makes all your if the truth makes love last longer, why do lies make my love stronger?
Stronger. Ain't that peculiar?
I love the interplay that goes on between the two of you in that song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love his musical take on it. Not at all like the original Marvin Gaye record. It's very folk rock. But James is a huge Marvin Gaye fan, though. It doesn't surprise me that he picked a song that I'd written for Marvin, because he's a huge Marvin Gaye fan.
And he's got a lot of soul in that wonderful, rich voice.
Oh, yeah, he's a soulful guy. There's no question about it.
One thing that I hope for, if you could have dreams, might as well, right, which is that this will turn into a concert, and every one of those people are going to be on stage with you, and I'm going to be there.
Hey, that's my dream. We're dreaming the same stuff, man.
That's beautiful. I love that. So I was just wondering, in life, especially for musicians, for people who wind up in the field of playing music, there's a song in their life that just turned them on their heads, or they changed the path of their life, or, you know, they were going to be a surgeon, and now all of a sudden they're making music in front of 12 people in a room, or 1,000 or whatever. And sometimes a song will help you make you think of the way music just is and what it means differently. Was there ever that for you?
Oh, sure there was. It's been that for me several times in my life, man. I guess the first one, which was the first record The Miracles and I ever recorded, was a song called Got a Job. I had written a song in answer to a song called Get a Job by a group named The Silhouettes, which was the number one record in the world. And Barry had been working with us for a while at that time, two or three months. And he was managing us and what have you. But this was prior to him starting Motown. And I wrote this song, and he and I were very excited about Got a Job. And that was our first recording. It was the first record, so that's why that's so special to me.
Walked all day till my feet were tired. I was low, I just couldn't get hired. Saw a sign in a grocery store, help is light, and we need some more.
I got a job.
Sha-da-da, sha-da-da.
I got a job.
And then after he started Motown, the Shop Around, man, Shop Around was the first million seller for Motown, the first million seller for The Miracles and Me, and it was a huge boost in our lives and in our career. It started the ball rolling for many, many people and many, many things. Motown, us, and so Shop Around will always be special in my heart. And it was a song I had actually written it for a guy named Barrett Strong, who had a record called Money, That's What I Want. Sure. He was one of our artists, and Barry had me to do an album on him. And Shop Around was the first song that I wrote for that album. And I played it for Barry, and I sang it for him, and he loved it so much with my voice on it. He had me to record it on The Miracles of Me, and I did so. And it was bluesy, because Barrett Strong was a bluesy singer. And the record had been out for about 2 weeks or so, and Barry called me at 3 o'clock in the morning. And said, hey, man, he said, Shop Around won't let me sleep, so I want you to get to beat right now and come to the studio. And I'm changing the sound, I'm changing the beat, I'm changing the rhythm, and it's going to go to number one. So we went to the studio at 3 o'clock in the morning and did that, and the rest is history.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around. Before you take the girl and say I do now, I'll make sure she's
Beautiful. What do you want to go out on? Let's play something from the Smokey and Friends.
Okay, let's go out on Being With You with Mary J. Blige.
Awesome. I really appreciate you doing this.
I appreciate you doing it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all that you've given.
God bless.
Smokey Robinson. The new album is called Smokey and Friends. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. I don't care what they think about me. Yeah. I don't care what they say.
Don't you wanna be with me?
Be with you, Mary.